Welcome to The Leader's Edge, where we celebrate leadership and shine a light on the visionary leaders that are shaping the future. Hi, I'm HR Huntsman, founder of The Leader's Edge, creator of The Leader's Edge Performance Engine and Leader's Edge University. I am thrilled to bring you stories from leaders who are making a difference around the world. In each and every episode, we champion the innovative strategies, courageous decisions, and inspiring journeys of those who lead with purpose and passion. So whether you're looking to refine your leadership skills or you simply want to be inspired, my friend, you are in the right place. In this episode, today's episode, I'd like you to meet Ryan Teicher. Ryan is the CEO of Redcom. They are a full-service design and construction company. Ryan has been an entrepreneur with his own family firm as well as with Fortune 100 companies. Ryan blends the needed structure of large companies with the personal touch of a family firm. His own leadership shows a healthy balance between mutual respect and high accountability. He cares deeply about building a company that is built on respect and makes a positive impact in their community, as well as providing a great place for every employee to build their own careers. He also shares with us how running a Ragnar race and good leadership have some overlap. So get ready for a fantastic conversation with Ryan Teicher. Ryan, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
It's great to be here.
I just want to jump into this. Why a Ragnar? What in the world led you to do? What in the world led you to do a long distance race, for goodness sakes?
Because I'm a moron. I had a few friends. I started getting into running. My friends were marathoners. And they said, hey, wouldn't this be a great idea? And I said, no, that would not be a great idea. And they're like, come on. It's not. It's a whole team. It's team building. It's fun. And I did it. And they were right. It was amazing. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever... Have you done a Ragnar? Do you know about it?
No, I've done all kinds of triathlons and biathlons and races, but I've never done a Ragnar. So what was so great about it? So you weren't a runner before this. Is that what I understand?
I was just getting into running. The longest I had done was a 5K.
Okay. All right.
And I didn't really know much about Ragnar. So my friends said, look, it's not that bad. It's three different legs that you're going to run. The premise of a Ragnar is that it's about 200-ish miles that you're running, but you're running as a team of 12 people.
Right.
And you have two vans, six people in each van, and you're split up into these two groups. So you'll run one leg, and then the rest of the other 11 people have to run their legs, and then it comes back around to you, you run again, and that happens three times.
Okay.
So basically, you're running anywhere from 3 to 13 miles on each leg. So they gave me the shortest legs. I had a 3 mile, a 4 mile, and a 5 mile run. But the kicker is that you're doing this in 30 hours. Oof. And you're not stopping in a hotel to sleep. You're sleeping wherever you can, whenever you can. So my first run was in the afternoon. My second run was in the middle of the night. And my third run was the next morning. And it's just a wild experience. Your nutrition is off. Your sleep is off.
Oh, wow.
It's as much of a mental challenge as it is a physical challenge.
All right.
And I made some friends. This was in 2019. I made some friends that weekend that I'm still close friends with now. And it's a wild experience.
I'm going to throw you a curveball. As you were saying this, I was wondering, is there any correlation between a Ragnar and leadership, building a team in an organization? I know I'm just throwing this at you. Are there any similarities between the two?
You have a captain on your team. So okay. I wasn't the captain. I was new to this. But you have a captain. The captain has to herd the cats, make sure that everybody is showing up to the right place at the right time.
Gotcha.
You sign up for your different legs and you got to be ready. You're sleeping in between, you're eating, you're going out to dinner, and the captain has to pull everybody together and just make sure that we make it through this 30-hour journey over 200 miles. You start in one location, you end in a different location. So it's not a loop.
It's not a loop.
Yeah. And there's two different vans that are running on two different tracks. So you got to communicate with each other. Each van had a leader, and then we had a leader of the whole team. But yeah, there's a correlation.
Some overlap there.
Between Ragnar and leadership for sure, yeah.
Okay, you're the captain of the Redcom team. Now let's take that correlation even further. You're
That's
the
right.
captain of the Redcom team. Tell me about your captaincy. Let's talk about leadership, leading a team, maybe your leadership journey. Fire away.
Yeah, so I'll start with my journey that brought me here. I started out in my family business. I was there for 10, 13 years. My brother and I and my father were running the show there. And that was a small company. We pushed out a lot of product, but it was a small feel family business type environment. From there, I went on and worked in the corporate world, which is exact opposite. I went to CBRE, which is a global leader in real estate.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands of employees all over the world. And I was working on the corporate client side. So I got to experience, I was working for Fortune 500 companies. Basically, I was servicing them as my clients. Every few years, I switched clients. So that was a complete 180, very highly structured, whereas the private side, my family business was a bit unstructured. And that kind of brought me to where I am now at Redcom. And one of the reasons why I was attracted to this role is that I have the opportunity to come to a mid-sized business where we do a lot of business. We have 55 people on staff here. And through the business growth, that structure grew as the company grew, and it's not as efficient as it could be. So I was tasked coming here with bringing efficiency to this business, trying to find where the leaks were in the boat and plugging them. And it gave me the opportunity to really take the great things about having that small family business and the great components of the large corporate environment with eliminating the bureaucracy and the red tape and the extra layers that make things more expensive and slow things down, and taking the best parts of both of those worlds and merging them together here at Redcom.
Very good.
And that's what I'm really trying to do.
Okay. Been here a couple of years, I see.
2 years, yeah.
2 years. What is, if someone were to look at you, Ryan, and say, okay, this is how we define Ryan as a leader, what would they say? He's really good at these things, for the bringing in the structure, family feel, the best of both worlds. What would someone say you're really good at?
So I hope people would say this, but what I'm proud of is culture.
Okay, talk to me.
So my personal life, my business life revolves all around respect. My opinion as a leader is that if you respect the people that work for you, they will respect you back. And it's all about getting the best version of them to come to work and to perform to the best of their abilities. And that's what I'm trying to do with the people that we have here. Make sure that everybody's in the right seat. They all have the tools that they need to be able to be the best version of themselves, and encouraging them and mentoring them to be the best version of themselves.
This is fantastic. We work with dozens of companies across the country, and I haven't heard very many leaders say that's like the core principle. It's a lot of times about production and getting things out and the widgets built and the buildings built and founding everything.
That's all a result.
That's all a result.
That's all a result. Yeah.
Let's paint me a picture of what this looks like in real life. How do you build a culture of respect? What does that look like in meetings, in coaching, in correction when someone's not carrying the ball well? Like, what does it look like in real time? Because someone could say, yeah, that sounds great. It's wonderful for a podcast. But when the rubber meets the road in real life, yeah. Ryan, what's that look like?
So I'll tell you two things. One is being on time to meetings.
Okay.
Getting to meetings on time. Finishing them on time, having a respect for everyone's time around you. Just because I'm the CEO of this organization doesn't mean that my time is more important than everybody else that works here. Right. So I have to hold myself accountable, be on time for meetings, and they have to do the same. We have to be on time for meetings. And when a meeting is supposed to end, we end the meeting and allow people to move on to the next task that they have.
Okay.
Not interrupting other meetings. When there's a meeting happening with a couple of employees, don't jump into that meeting. Respect their time. It's important for them to do what they're doing in that moment. The other thing that I do that I started doing here at Redcom is a CEO, I'm meeting with every employee every quarter.
Wow.
We started what we're calling our top level talks, which is an opportunity for employees without their managers to come and meet with me. And we're selecting people from different departments that are not in the same department. So here at Redcom, we have in-house architecture, engineering, estimating, construction project management, and all the back office that goes along with it, and our sales team. So I'm meeting in small groups with about 5 to 6 people and one person from each department. And it's an opportunity for them to sit with me, ask me anything they want to ask.
Wow.
Ask. It's not a meeting. There's no agenda. It's just an opportunity for us to chat. We could talk about personal lives. We could talk about business. We could talk about what they love and hate about Redcom. And it's just a way for us to connect and to talk about whatever they want to talk about. And I think they've been very effective. I'm on my second round of these meetings now. And I go in and I say, look, I know it's not a meeting, but I can't really keep these, what we talk here, too confidential. Of course, I'm not going to go around saying this person said this person and that. But I'm the guy here that can change things. So if you're going to say something to me that you're unhappy with, I'm going to go and try and change it and fix it. So it's not quite confidential, but it's an opportunity for people to raise some issues. And I think people are starting to get comfortable with the fact that there's no retribution. I'm not penalizing people for bringing up issues that they have. And sometimes issues with their managers have come up that we've had to address. And going back to respect, I respect their privacy, I respect their desires to remain anonymous. And we go after some of these problems and we're trying to fix them.
It triggered two trains of thought to me. One, I'd like to say this. So I can imagine many of the CEOs listening to this and they're hearing about all these meetings. I can hear them because I have heard them say,
"Yeah,
we don't have time for all that crap. We got stuff to do. We have widgets to build. Man, I don't know what you guys are doing over there. Don't you have buildings to build?" Ryan, how are you taking and or making the time for these meetings? Tell me about the ROI. Someone who says we don't have time for meetings.
Yeah, these top level talks are that important to me. So I make the time. We have them at lunch. We'll go out. They're all offsite. They're not in the office here.
Oh, interesting.
And we take an hour, an hour and a half. So sometimes it's lunch, sometimes it's a happy hour, and sometimes it's a breakfast. And those are the three times that we slot in these meetings. So they all eat lunch, and sometimes I'll eat lunch and we'll have this chat during that time. So you make the time.
Okay.
If it's important to you, you'll find the time.
What's been the feedback so far? You've been through this at least one full time. This is your second round. What's been the feedback so far? I imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, I imagine we're going to get to my second train of thought in a second. I imagine some people are like, yeah, I don't know, CEOs talking to me.
Yeah.
I don't know how forthright I'm going to be, certainly in that first round. Tell me how that's played out. Tell me how people are feeling it out.
Yeah, that's exactly what the take was, especially even at the beginning of the first round, like the first half of the meeting. It would be, everything's great, we love Redcom, our jobs are great, our managers are great. And then I basically would turn to them and be like, that's wonderful and I appreciate you saying that, but let's get real. You know, it's not everything is great. I know not everything is great. And by me opening up and identifying some of the shortfalls that I've identified, okay, at the company, things that I was looking to tackle, I think it gave them confidence and comfort to raise some of the things that they were concerned about. It's, you know, it goes back to vulnerability also. I would show a little bit of vulnerability, and then they felt a little more comfortable opening up.
That's tying back into the second train of thought I had when you said there'll be no retribution. That speaks to trust.
Yeah.
Trust is the deepest level that needs to be built in an organization. Very few CEOs do what we call scuba diving. They dive deep into the things that either build or erode trust. Most leaders, they're snorkelers. They live on the surface of production and accountability and numbers and metrics and yada. You're doing the deep dives, the scuba diving into trust. What are some of the things that you're doing that help build, like this second round is probably going to have a much different feel, I would imagine, than the first round did. What are you doing specifically that you could teach other leaders to do to build trust, tear down the walls of skepticism and fear and all the stuff that all the scar tissue that people have?
Yeah, it's respect and just being confident in yourself. A lot of times people view vulnerability and showing mutual respect as a weakness, but it's not. It's the strongest strength that you could possibly have.
That's for sure.
And getting internalizing that and understanding it for yourself and having the confidence in being able to be vulnerable and respect your team, it gets you there.
Okay.
And sometimes you got to lay down the hammer. It's not all roses. And that's part of it as well, is following through with there are people that aren't holding up their end of the bargain. They either have to be retrained, reassigned, or replaced.
Okay.
And you got to follow through with that.
So I'd like to ask you, are you willing to be vulnerable right now?
A little bit.
Knowing that vulnerability is a superpower and it is probably the fastest way to tear down walls, I'd like to know how you demonstrate that with your team, if you don't mind sharing. How are you vulnerable with them? I assume it's not a one-way street. You're not just asking them to be vulnerable and authentic with you. How do you demonstrate that?
So one way, and I learned this very early on in my career when I was just a punk kid coming into work for my dad's company, is admitting that you don't know something.
Okay.
I'm not an expert at everything in this company. I'm not an architect. I'm not a licensed architect. I'm not a licensed engineer. There are people here that work on my team that know a lot more than I do about those areas. And going to them and saying, I know you're an expert here. Help me understand this. How can I understand this a little bit better? Explain to me what you know. And that builds trust, and that gives them the confidence to share and to be the best version of themselves, because they know that they know something the CEO doesn't know.
For sure.
Yeah.
How do you, if I can even dig a little bit further, if you don't mind, how do you get in your own way? What are some areas that you still at this level of leadership? I'm still working on this. This is an area of leadership that I still need to work, or my own deficiencies I still need to work on.
Oh, that's really getting deep there. Areas that I'm working on, I would say that there are certain parts of this business that I'm really weak at and I want to get better. So it's not necessarily, I guess it is technically leadership, but on the sales side and the business development side, I have some areas of weakness that I'd like to build on.
Okay.
And I've admitted that to my team. I go to the salespeople and say, what can I do to get a little bit better? I'm going to take some courses on storytelling and things of that nature to help hone in on my skills in that area.
Yeah, beautiful. We teach, the phrase we use everywhere we go is creative conflict. Excuse me. The great companies have an ability to disagree respectfully. We call it creative conflict. It's where innovation is birthed. It's where creativity, improvement, new ideas, all the things that we want. Someone says, Mr. CEO, I disagree with that. I have a different idea. A lot of companies, that culture would not even be allowed. Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How do you make the time for not just good, healthy conversations, but creative conflict? How do you innovate or create, Ryan?
Yeah, I love that. I love when people come to us because creativity is one of our core values. And we're by nature, we design and we build. Everyone here needs to be creative. And there's 10 different ways to build the exact same thing. And one person may have an experience from their past that can be applied to the design or the construction of a project that someone else didn't think of or didn't see it. So I'm always asking people to raise their hand and to offer up suggestions. Collaboration between our departments is so important. It's the value that we bring as an organization from having everybody under the same roof. And that allows us to get even more creative. But creating that conflict that you were talking about, I have an executive team of six people, the leaders of each division. We have a monthly meeting where we meet 8 o'clock in the morning before the office starts to fill up, and we brainstorm. My agenda is, what are the most difficult things that we need to solution for and work through? And I let the conversation go. Wow. And it's not me telling everybody what I think we should do. It's us working together as a team. We all come from different backgrounds. We come from different life experiences, and we all have different areas of focus that we're looking at. The design side is looking at things from a design perspective. The construction side is looking at things from a buildability or a constructability perspective. And our finance department is looking at things from a completely different department, area. And then we have our business operations with HR and legal and insurances that are looking at some different risks. Right. So we all have our different viewpoints, and we bring them all into the room, and we have some healthy discussions and disagreements, but it helps us. You know, they say iron sharpens iron.
That's right. They say that. Wow. This is impressive. This, as you're describing all this, I'm thinking about the companies that we work with that are similar, that allow this kind of healthy conflict. And that also requires a particular kind of teammate. You're not just looking for a great architect now. You're looking for a great architect who can be vulnerable and honest and deal with conflict and learn how to show respect, and an engineer who can do the same. So could you describe for me, not necessarily the skill set, but the character set, the mindset of the ideal RedCom team member? Who are you looking for to join your team?
We're looking for people that want to be here.
What does that mean?
They have to have a passion for their job. They have to have a passion for their family and a passion for their community. Those are a lot of things that are important to me and that are important to RedCom. We're looking for smart people. Even if you don't have 25 years of experience in estimating, if you have the drive and the smarts, we'll give you a shot.
Okay. It sounds like, so we always talk about hire for culture, train for skill. It sounds like you have a similar pattern. Like, we can train you, but you've got to fit in our culture first.
Yep.
Honest, authentic, vulnerable, respectful, all the things you've talked about up to now.
Yeah, anytime an employee comes in for an interview, we do a culture fit as part of the interview.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. I believe that leadership changes the world. I've seen it in the Maasai Mara and with the tribe in Kenya. I've seen it in boardrooms across America. That's why I do this. It's why Leaders Edge exists. It's why the podcast exists. I celebrate leadership. I believe that leadership brings great cultures together where people have meaning and purpose and their talents are unleashed. Tell me at RedCom, how are you changing the world? How are you making the world a better place? You're not just building buildings. I know that. We've talked before. You're not just building buildings, right? Yeah. How are you changing the world?
We're trying a little bit at a time. We like to take on some projects that may not be the most profitable projects, but they're good for community involvement. I'll give you two examples. One example is the United Way of Union County in Rahway, New Jersey. They were having a difficult time getting a contractor to be able to build their new space for the right price. And I was introduced to the CEO of the United Way by a friend, and she impressed me so much. And the cause that they're working towards is just so important that we did whatever we had to do. We did an open book job. We took very little fee, and it ended up falling within their budget. We encouraged our subcontractors to do the same. For example, our flooring subcontractor said, if you don't really care about the color of the flooring, I got something in the back of my warehouse that is got the right quality. Nobody really loves the color. You could have it. Nice. So we leveraged our relationships with our subcontractors to be able to get them into their new facility so that they can provide services in how they need to do that. Another project that we're working on is for the American Legion in Westfield. We're going to be building a new hall for their members. And above that hall is going to be subsidized apartments for homeless veterans.
Fantastic.
So not only are we providing a place for them to socialize, but we're giving them a home as well. So those are two projects that we're really proud of being involved in.
That's amazing.
Helping the community.
I imagine that everyone who works with you and on your team, you're also changing their lives by giving them such a fantastic place to develop their talents and raise their families and build for their dreams, et cetera. Thank you for providing that model to all of our listeners and leaders. Final question, Ryan, I'd like you to put on your mentor hat for a second, if you don't mind. Put yourself into mentor mode. You've been in the leadership game for a while. Let's say you were advising or mentoring a 25-year-old young lady or young man. They're just either out of college, they're getting their architect degree, or they're thinking about being an entrepreneur. What advice would you give them from your years of experience, your mistakes, your failures, your many successes? What advice would you give them? This is why leadership matters. This is why working hard matters. What advice would you pass on to them?
Man, first thing I would say is never stop learning.
Okay.
You can never get to the point where you've learned it all. And keep your eyes open, surround yourself with good people, smart people, because there's always something that you can learn from the people around you. And you can apply that to your everyday. That's the most important thing. And then just going back to respect the people around you as well. Whatever industry you end up in, it's going to be a small industry. So the people that you meet early on in the industry, you're going to come past them a few times as you come up and as you grow. So respect those people around you, never burn a bridge, and always keep learning.
I wrote down three things: never stop learning, surround yourself with good people, treat everyone with respect.
That's it.
Those are good lessons, my friend. Ryan, thank you so much for taking your time. Thank you for what you're building there at Redcom, the lives that you're impacting there. Really appreciate your time. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and experience with our listeners. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this was fun. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's it for today's show. Thank you for joining us on The Leader's Edge. I hope today's conversation inspired you to lead with even greater purpose and passion. My three big takeaways from my conversation with Ryan are these. Number one, respect is foundational. He said it again and again and again, treating others with respect and building a culture and team around that core value is good business. So for all the leaders out there and aspiring leaders out there, treat everyone with respect and expect them to do the same. Number two, make time for good meetings. There are tremendous advantages and a solid ROI for having well-built meetings for smooth operations and good innovation. I hear this again and again and again from high-performing leaders. Great meetings are essential. So for all the leaders out there who say we don't have time for meetings, well, then you must have time for mediocrity. Number three, never stop learning. This is the advice that he gave to students, those that are beginning an entrepreneurial journey or their own leadership journey. Young people getting started, develop a mindset of curiosity and learning. That's going to set you up for success as much as any other trait. Fantastic. Okay, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I'd love a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us reach more leaders just like you. That's the whole point of The Leader's Edge, is to inspire, educate, inform, and motivate great leaders. Your feedback helps us do just that. Please stay connected with us on social media for behind-the-scenes content, leadership insights, and updates on future episodes. Don't forget to check us out at yourleadersedge.com and follow us at Leader's Edge Podcast on all your major platforms. So until next time, keep pushing boundaries, keep leading at the edge. I'm HR Huntsman, and we'll see you soon.